We all need encouragement, brothers and sisters, so it is with pleasure I call upon Brother Peter to give us that the very necessary word of exhortation. Brother Peter.
Well, good morning, brethren and sisters. We have read Psalm 36, and I want to talk about Psalm 36 because it contains instruction for us. The psalm actually contrasts the thinking of the wicked and the godly. So we should be looking at the way the psalm actually contrasts how wicked people think and how godly people think. Of course, we want to be godly, so we will want to copy the way the godly think, and we'll want to avoid thinking in the way the ungodly think. In Psalm 36, the first four verses, verses 1, 2, 3 and 4, tell us how the wicked think. Verses 5, 6, 7, 8 and 9, verses 5 to 9, talk about the righteousness of God and how that actually affects the lives of the godly. And then the last three verses, verses 10, 11 and 12, it's a prayer of David, and he's praying to be delivered from individuals who are proud, individuals who want to undermine, destroy his position. If you want to follow through how the psalm might fit into David's life, consider that it is a psalm written by David because his son Absalom tried to take the throne from him. So, how do the wicked think and behave? Well, in the second verse of the psalm, in verse 2, of the wicked, he flatters himself in their own eyes. He looks at himself and says, "Aren't I a wonderful person?" That's how the wicked thinks. In fact, the Apostle Paul, writing to Christian believers in Corinth, presents the same idea, dealing with problems in the church, in the ecclesia, in the first century. In 2 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul actually warns against a certain way of thinking. You see, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, there were individuals who did not want to listen to his message. And so they tried to find fault with the Apostle Paul. And so Paul says in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 10, "We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." The Apostle Paul says, "I'm not going to be like those individuals who look at themselves and look at other people and say, I'm better than them." That's the idea that we find in Psalm 36. That's what the wicked are like. The Apostle Paul was not wicked, he was a righteous man, and so he did not want to behave in that way. You see, the wicked have a high opinion of themselves. They were self-centered. Now, that is important for us to think about because we live in a society today which encourages individuals to think highly of themselves. We see it in the advertising. We see it in social media. You're worth it. Right? Catchphrase in an advert. You're worth it. And that justifies desiring something. Or also, social media and others will say, well, you need me time. You need your own personal time. See, it's all about self that's being presented. Society encourages us to put ourselves first. That actually contrasts with the righteous. The title of the Psalm 36, it's a Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. And that's how David viewed himself. He was a servant of the Lord. Now, does a servant have me time? Does a servant have the opportunity to do what he wants to do? Well, actually, Jesus tells parables about that sort of thing and makes the point, no, a servant does the job that his master gives him to do all the time. He does what he is committed to as a servant. Now, it seems today, certainly in the UK, a problem that we tend to put off doing what we have to do until the last minute. And then we'll do it if we can't find anything better, as we see it, to do. And then rush around at the last minute, trying to fit things in. Servants don't work like that. They see the job and do it. Thinking back in the psalm of the way that the wicked think. In verse 4, he deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. So the wicked is plotting and planning. And he doesn't think, I can't do that because it's evil. There are no restrictions in his mind. I will do what I want to do. That's how he spends his time thinking. David, the man who wrote this psalm, thought differently. In Psalm 63, we find David again speaking. This psalm, possibly, also fits into the time of Absalom's uprising. And in verse 6, he's talking about how he spends his time. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. So, by contrast to the wicked, David is thinking about God's goodness and his mercy. If I'm right in thinking the psalm is talking about Absalom's uprising, David was in a difficult circumstance, and he is still thinking about the mercy and goodness of God. So, if we are ever tempted to think we are worth it to justify our actions, or think that we need me time because life is a bit hard, then the Psalm 36 actually encourages us to think differently. We commented about how at the beginning of the psalm, the wicked are presented to us, and then the thoughts of the godly who are reflecting upon God. And I want us to look for a moment or two at that section, Psalm 36 and at verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. So God is merciful and faithful. Verse 6, thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. Or again in verse 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. So whereas the wicked are busy planning what they want to do and are not thinking about the fact they might be doing wickedness and sin, the godly individual, his mind is focused upon not himself, but God. Right? God's merciful and faithful and righteous because his word, his judgments are there to be read. So, I suppose the challenge is, which group of individuals do we want to be associated with? Which group of individuals do we want to be like? The wicked or the godly? Society often presents pictures of what we call various different options that we can do. The Bible doesn't work like that. There are always only two options: serving self and serving God. And the choice is, which are we going to do? Well, the psalmist in Psalm 36 tells us how he made his decision. In verse 7 of Psalm 36, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. So the psalmist is clear. He places his confidence in God because God is merciful and gracious. Thinking for a moment about the wicked, the ungodly, those who are, I'm worth it, I need time for myself, well, they're never satisfied. Advertising works on the basis that people are never satisfied. So, for example, about every 12 to 18 months, Apple bring out a new iPhone. And we're encouraged to change the perfectly acceptable iPhone we've got for the new one. Or if we drive, we are encouraged to change our car. 5 years ago, we bought a car. 12 months after we'd bought it, we received a phone call from the company that sold it to us, encouraging us to trade it in and buy a new one. Still going after 5 years, and I anticipate it will be going for another 5. The world teaches us to want things, but the wise man Solomon says the eye is not satisfied with seeing, the ear is not satisfied with hearing. That's God's assessment. He knows what we like. Sadly, so do the marketing people, so do those who advertise. But the godly, those who think like David in this psalm, they can be satisfied. Those who in verse 7 put their trust in God, verse 8, shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasure, for with thee is the fountain of life. So godly individuals can be satisfied not with possessions, but with fellowship with God through the waters of baptism. That's what the psalm is talking to us about. And it speaks to us about our obligations. Do we share David's prayer? Verse 10 is that prayer. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Is that how we think? Is that how we want our lives to be? Absalom wasn't like that. He just wanted the throne. He wanted the praise of men. But David, his faithfulness was preserved. But the psalm speaks of our obligations. I want to end by going to Paul's letter to the Philippians. Whilst I'm turning up Philippians, there was a problem in the group of believers at Philippi, and it was to do with pride, causing contention between two individuals. And it's against that background the Apostle Paul was encouraging the believers to think in the same way as Jesus thought. And so in chapter 2, he says, in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. See how that fits with what the psalm is saying? Contrasting the wicked, who compare themselves with themselves, as Paul said to the Corinthians. Think of others better. Look, verse 4, not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of other. Then in verse 7, talking of Jesus, he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And he was obedient. We should be so grateful, brethren and sisters, that Jesus, the man who was going to inherit all things, wasn't proud, wasn't full of himself, but rather was full of doing God's will. Because as we come to remember him in the bread and in the cup, we are able to do that because he gave himself to God. Now, it's not just a matter of coming and breaking bread once a week. That is a privilege we have that we should show in our lives all the time, of not being self-centered, but being God-centered.